You're listening to the Free Oromia podcast, dedicated to amplifying the voices of freedom. Thanks for tuning in to the Free Oromia podcast. Visit our website at freeoromia.org. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Team Free Oromia, and like our Facebook page at facebook.com/Team Free Oromia. You can also give us a call on the Free Oromia podcast hotline at 430-755-0727 and leave us a voicemail asking us questions or giving us your feedback. Make sure you subscribe and leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Hello, 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 everyone, and welcome back to the Team Free Oromia podcast, or welcome for the first time, in case you're a new listener. If you are, you have quite a few episodes to catch up on, so I suggest that you pause now, go back to episode one, start from the beginning, and then we'll see you back here in 15 episodes? Is this number 15?
This is number 15.
Okay. So, We're glad to have you back again with us, our dear listeners. And I am here with your usual co-host, Jal Maro.
Hello.
Hey. We do not have Jal Hawi with us today, but we do have Jal Hawine. Welcome back.
Hello. Thank you. Happy to be here.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. We're happy to have you back again. And we also have with us another special guest, Jal Katale. Hey.
Hey, guys. Yesterday I was doing this symposium. I was with all women. I was the only guy in there. Today, again, I'm the only guy. So like I said yesterday, be nice to me.
We'll see what we can do.
Yeah, we'll see what we can do. And considering what we have lined up at the end of the episode, we're not going to make any promises.
But all right.
Just a little, I won't give any spoilers for our listeners. You know, just hang on till we get to the end, and you'll probably get to hear quite an interesting exchange. But welcome to you both. We're really, really happy to have you here with us. And you're both members of the amazing Kello Media team. So I think it's really apt that we have you here with us in particular, because our conversation today will center on the media. Specifically, we want to talk about the role of independent media, investigative journalism, and report writing in gathering and documenting facts, in telling our story, our experiences, and our truths, and in pushing back against propaganda and false information. But as usual, before we get into the episode, please do follow us on our social media. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Team Free Oromia. And please do also visit our website, freeoromia.org, and take the Free Oromia survey. Kello, do you guys have any social media that you want to plug to our listeners? We probably have the type of listeners that are already following you guys, but
it's always worth it. All social media, so they better be following us. We're on Twitter at Kello Media, Instagram at Kello Media, no space. And we're also on Facebook and YouTube at Kello Media. So it's Kello Media everywhere. So there's no excuse to not follow us.
Can I just say,
before we get started, this is my favorite podcast, hands down. I send this to all my friends, and I make them listen to it because I love this podcast, and I love you guys, and I know you guys know that, but I love this podcast.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Yes, Jal Katale is sitting and clapping because I think he's forgotten he's on a podcast. You're used to being on video.
We need to like visually describe what's happening.
Yeah, you guys are too used to being on video, so you know, don't forget yourselves, this is audio only. So
we started with the audio too, by the way, so
good stuff,
getting back to your roots. I love it. Let's just get into our topic. So we're going to start talking about investigative journalism, particularly gathering evidence and sharing and telling our stories. So actually, in one of our previous episodes, we did encourage our listeners to watch the Kello Media investigative documentary on the assassination of our beloved artist and activist Taj Alohundesa. We hope you've watched it already, those of you who are listening. And if you haven't, please pause, go watch it right now. Where can they find it, please?
They can find it on our YouTube and our Facebook pages, which is Kello Media on both platforms. So we have it in Amharic, we have it in Afaan Oromo, and we have it with English subtitles. So we try to really cover the gamut of what is necessary to get this documentary out there.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for that. And it's very much in line with your usual consistent and high quality Kello nature. So no surprises there. So in the documentary, we hear the testimony of one of the alleged murderers of Haçalı. And we also learned that the government tried to coerce him into giving a false confession and false testimony. But he refused to do it. There's obviously a lot more to the documentary. But the bottom line is that it exposed the ongoing government cover-up of the assassination of Haçalı, and no other media is adequately covering that. So, you know, shout out to you guys. But do you have any updates on your work in that regard, on your investigation into Haçalı's assassination? What's happening with it now?
Well, we do have an update, but it's not really something that we can publicize at this point. We were still working on it. The investigation did not stop there. So we kind of went to, you know, we came a long way to kind of the conclusion, but we didn't make the conclusion yet. It's kind of clear and obvious where it suggests. But we want to also develop on that. So there are still developments. There are documents that we have got from Haçalı's medical results and some other stuff that we don't want to disclose. Possibly, no promises, but I think we are halfway to the second documentary even. We are still waiting for this breakthrough. So hopefully once we get that, I think we're going to go to making the documentary. Now as we are in the stage of collecting more information on the, we knew the situation before, but we didn't want to bring it to the first documentary without having any evidence behind it. As an information, we had some information, so we went back to the investigation and we got some documentation. So yeah, that's all we got for now.
Intriguing. So there's a second documentary to be expected.
Possibly, with more evidence and more, more evidence, possibly we will come. That's what we're working on right now.
Well, all the best of luck to you with that. We look forward to seeing what else you manage to find out.
I think that's what also, just to add on, I think that's what makes us confident in Kello Media's work, is that you don't put out things that are half-baked, and so we know that when information is being put out, that it's very done very thoughtfully and it's thorough work behind it, which is very rare, especially in the context of East African information sharing.
Thank you. We do appreciate that. Integrity is very important in media, so
yeah, for sure.
I just want to hop on to that point. Me and Jal Katele, we always go back and forth about what information do we share and what don't we share. Like, we always have conversations about this because we want to be responsible with the information that we do have. We get information all the time. Like, people message us, they call Jal Katele all the time with information, but it's a matter of sifting through and making sure that we're responsible with the platform that we've been given. And also making sure that we're respectful of what's going on, especially with Haçalı's assassination. He has a family, he has children who are going to grow up and see this one day. So we want to make sure that we're respectful as well.
Awesome. That's actually a really important consideration. And, you know, that you're thinking far enough ahead in terms of his children having to see this when they're older, and that will be around for the rest of their lives, and that, you know, we need to be mindful of how it impacts them and how it impacts all of Hajalu's family, actually, is really, really important. But while we do give these props, and deservedly so, we want to also recognize that it's disturbing that investigative journalism into the assassination of Hajalu and the mass imprisonment of Oromo political prisoners, the experiences of torture, abuse, extrajudicial killings, that thousands of Oromo civilians have been facing since the start of the military command posts back in 2018, and lots of other ongoing abuses too. All of this has been deeply lacking across media in the West and in Ethiopia. And, you know, lots of other nationalities are experiencing state abuse as well. Benishangul people, the Gumus people, the Konso, the Walaita, the Sidama. And we really commend the few media outlets that have been honestly covering what's happening in Tigray to the extent that they can, and the atrocities in Tigray are being boldly exposed, and we really hope that it will result in worldwide pressure against the Ethiopian government to stop these horrendous atrocities against the Tigrayan people and to allow humanitarian access. But the thing is, telling the Tigray story and the Oromo story is not mutually exclusive. So it kind of begs the question as to why the Oromo story hardly has any visibility, you know, when it's equally dangerous, it's equally harmful as what's going on in Tigray. So what's causing our story and our voices to be neglected in Ethiopia and also on the international stage? Like, what do you think is the role and importance of independent media when it comes to telling the world about what's happening in Oromia and in Ethiopia?
So I don't mean to be the history junkie here and take us all the way back.
I love when Jalhawine comes through with the receipts.
Yeah,
it's my favorite thing.
I'll just keep it general, but I mean, the distortion of the Oromo and the Oromo story has been around for hundreds of years. Mm-hmm. I think our story has never been properly told, even when we look at the Europeans, and when they came to Ethiopia, or the Ethiopian Empire, Abyssinian Empire, and started interacting with the Oromos that they met, they never told an accurate story of what was going on because it was not in their best interest. They came with the interest of colonization, so it was not in their best interest to tell the truth of the land. They aligned themselves with Abyssinian rulers, Abyssinian peoples, and the Abyssinian peoples experienced the Oromos through resistance. And that transferred to their perception of the Oromo. So there's this story or this motif, this theme that Oromos are always resisting and that we're always the warriors. And in some ways, we're the bad guys, which we are not. And I feel like that is translating now to why independent media does not take up our stories or does not take up our truth. Because there's already a stereotype out there, and it's easier to play into the stereotype, sensationalize that stereotype, and run with it and present it to the world. Because they already have a foundation of what they may want to work with. And also, sensationalizing stories or what is going on in Africa, that's not something new. That's always happened. It's like telling the truth of what's going on in Ethiopia is not, it's not going to make them money. It's not going to get them views. It's not going to get them hits on their websites. So that's why it's essential that one, independent media tell the truth of the Oromos, and that these independent medias, have a voice from the Oromo, like Oromos telling their own stories. That's also essential because for so long we couldn't tell our own stories. Like, mm-hmm. it was Europeans telling our stories, or it was Abyssinians telling our stories. It was never us. Yep. So our truth was never properly conveyed to the world. So that's also another point.
To come into this, I think as part of it is that let's look into this in two ways. One inside the country, and then one is domestic. Internationally, you know, a lot of medias are focusing on Tigray. One is mechanized war, the complete just war. On top of that, TPLF has been known internationally for so long. I mean, for the last 27 years.
Mm-hmm.
When Oromos, in fact, nobody knew Oromos. Guys, remembered in 2014, 15. Nobody knew what Oromo was, like, honestly speaking. Nobody, like, if you ask anyone in international, if one small newspaper wrote about Oromo, it's a big news. It's just everybody will be so happy back in the days. Now, forget about this, BBC, Al Jazeera, New York Times, Washington Post, Business Insider, Wall Street. Everybody writes about Ethiopia's problem right now. Back in the days, I remember when I first came to this country, that's like around that area when Jawar went on Al Jazeera stream and said, I'm Oromo first. That was a big deal. Just one Oromo getting like 5 minutes to talk about Oromo was such a big deal. OMN came out of that. Oromo was so excited for the mere fact that he just said, I'm Oromo first. And he was on international media, talked about Oromo for very little, like how many minutes? Was it even 5-10 minutes, to be honest? And that can tell you the position of Oromo in international stage. When nobody knew us, that came from different reasons. One, we were not in the bureaucracy of Ethiopia. We didn't have a position. So, you know, if you're Sabona, if you're a nationalist, and if you're proud of your identity, you're not going to go through the bureaucracy of Ethiopia and get to a big position and just become, you know, somebody important in the world. So if you're Sabona, you belong in a jail or something like that. So there was there's no way that Oromos can come out through the ranks. Unless you just change your identity and become somebody else and serve a dark cause, you don't get the chance. So in international stage, a lot of Ethiopians came to this country. Not a lot of Oromos came. The first Oromo generation came, was very, very small, that got education through missionaries, like, you know, Hawinia's dad and all that stuff. They're not a lot. Very small amount. So Oromo had no exposure to the international community. The few people that have international community fled the country or dead, like Gudina Tumsa, Baro Tumsa, that most of the people that came to Western country and got education. So it was so hard for the Oromos to kind of make themselves visible. So inside the country, there is a media imbalance. There in Ethiopia, at least more than my guess is 70 to 100 satellite medias in Ethiopia. Out of that, that does not serve that does not serve the government, and unbiased are none.
Wow, none.
I mean, honestly.
I thought you were going to give a figure, but you really said none.
Are none. Yeah.
Let me count. Zero.
Zero.
Zero. Yeah.
Wow.
So when you think about it, the only media that is independent and serving unbiased media that is standing for the people is OMN, which is not in the country, is outside. So we cannot count that OMN being Ethiopian media because it's outside. And you cannot count us in it. So any media that you see in there, Fana, Walta, EBC, I can count thousands that run by a government or even private medias that run by Habashis. They're really working against the Oromo cause every day. They call them Zarenyas. They're giving them different names, discouraging them of anti-Ethiopianist, anti-unity, all that stuff. So how can you really bring out your voice? You know, the thing is, if anybody wants to know about the Oromo, if Oromos have the truth, you can see the influence and the work. The only media OMN did in that country. There are hundreds of medias, maybe 100 media in that country. But Oymen was able to change the discourse of the country, the politics of the country, because it had truth, because people listened to it. Mm-hmm. When there is OBN, when there is EBC, when there is Fana, Walter, OBN, you can count. Mm-hmm. Nobody was listening. Jowhar was sitting in Minnesota and telling people what to do. But the government was using all that media, doing a propaganda against the Oromo cause, but they couldn't win. They could not. So you can see why the Oromo's voice is not amplified, why it's not heard in international level. And honestly speaking, in Oromo history, I have never heard when Oromo's hired a lobby in the Western countries. No, not even one lobbyist. So that can add up all, Oromo's, not only that, we were running after political power for so long that we lost control of the economic power in that country. Everybody goes to Oromia, take whatever they want to take, gold, coffee, whatever it is, but Oromos are always victims. They don't benefit out of it. Maybe they just carry the coffee to the car and just get a little bit money as labor. That's it. Rather than that, even the Chat or Juma in Awadai was controlled by TPLF's generals. Mm. So we were not benefiting anything out of that country. So we don't have economic power to even do something. So we didn't have economic power. We didn't have political power. We don't have an influence in international community because we are very small compared to the other nations and nationalities. And they're against us. Everybody, just because when you say I'm a Romo, everybody's against you. You're being subjugated. They will look down on you just as if you don't want to be Ethiopian or, you know. So for that reasons, when you add all of that up, that can tell you why the Oromo cause is not really being talked everywhere. Now everybody's about talking Tigray and Bilsigna. But one thing I want to tell our audience today is this. The problem of Ethiopia is Oromo. And the solution of Ethiopia's Oromo. And that's my message.
The problem is Oromo.
The solution is Oromo. I mean, if you, they'll get what I'm trying to say.
They'll get what you're trying to say. Yeah,
good trouble, right? That's the Representative John Lewis said. Good trouble. Mm-hmm. But John Katale, he actually sparked a thought that I just had. So good job. Shout out to you,
John. I feel like this probably happens a lot. Yeah.
It was very good. Sparked with that. But I think the reason why, or a part of the reason why, independent media cannot thrive or flourish in Ethiopia is because the truth is penalized. You are punished for the truth. Tell me if I'm out, like, way out there or not, but, like, us sitting in America, we were able to develop a whole documentary on Hajj Al's assassination that uncovered some truths. Can you imagine if people in Oromia were able to move freely to uncover the truth? Like, can you imagine how much information we would have if the truth wasn't so penalized in that country?
Yeah. And I think that's why the truth is so penalized, because they know that if people, like, had access to actual real information, if people had access to the truth, it'd be over. Like, people would be free tomorrow.
Exactly. Mm.
That's really true. And Jal Katale's analysis sparked a thought for me as well, actually. So, you know, times two, Jal Katale, well done. But yeah, it's just, you know, in terms of, like, the visibility of the war in Tigray and the amount of attention that it's getting, and how, you know, the Oromo story is being neglected, it's really true what you said about, you know, Oromo's lacking representation on the international stage due to not having had access to, you know, forging the kinds of diplomatic ties that would, you know, make people notice and respond to what's happening. I mean, the TPLF was ruling Ethiopia for almost 30 years. And obviously in that time, they cemented their diplomatic presence across the international stage. And so they already have that access and they already have those channels to get their story quickly heard and to get what's happening in Tigray quickly noticed. I mean, despite that, they're still being ravaged in that region right now. So, you know, the fact that, you know, imagine a place where their access doesn't exist. Imagine a place where the story doesn't even get out. Imagine what's happening there. You see the story of what's happening in Tigray, and you see the extent of that crisis. So imagine the extent of the crisis in a place where you're not getting access to that story and you're not seeing what's happening to the people there. It's really quite frightening because you can see clear as day what the Ethiopian government is capable of, literally using famine as a means to subdue the people. Like, that's beyond evil. The Ethiopian government is literally saying, you either submit or we're going to starve you to death. Mm-hmm. Like, how does it even get to that? So then, with independent media, whether it's in the West or Ethiopia, or, you know, Oromo based, do you think that things are being adequately investigated? You know, are we gathering enough evidence and telling the Oromo story sufficiently? And if not, you know, why is that the case? And I mean, I know Kello Media, you guys are trying to sort of fill some of that gap. So what are you trying to achieve in that regard?
Well, I think obviously there is a reason for that, why medias are not really efficient in this kind of investigative journalism. Investigative journalism, to be honest with you. It's even hard to report what is on the ground, because today Oromo medias, independent medias, cannot function inside the country. They've been kicked out. OMN has been kicked out. We are not allowed to move freely in the country. If any of our journalists have been seen, they will be imprisoned, maybe killed. So it's a serious matter. There is no freedom of speech. So part of it is investigative journalism needs a lot of movements, documentations, having people in the bureaucracy that can, you know, hand you the documentation and evidence and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So it makes it even complicated. And also, medias, we have financial barrier. Really, the way we function, people think that media is cheap. For Oromo medias, just paying satellite monthly $7,000 to $8,000 is not easy money.
Wow.
Monthly. So that's wow. That's adds up to $100,000 a year.
Wow.
Covering that up and and that's only for satellite. And then you have to pay for the rent, employees, editors, cameraman, journalist. Mm-hmm. You can add up maybe $300,000 to $250,000. So funding that by itself is really hard. Investigative journalism by itself needs a lot of money by itself. It's not cheap. Mm-hmm. Especially in a country like Ethiopia, to find just one piece of paper, you have to pay some money to some person in the office or something like that.
Right.
That's the way you move around. Mm-hmm. So it makes it so complicated. And also, being in a Western country and sitting in America investigating in Ethiopia, it looks like an impossible thing. It really makes it so impossible to do it. But we are trying to really do our best in investigating whatever we could. We try to, because this is media for us is not really about, you know, working in the media in America, just be like, oh, this is a media, and, you know, we're trying to send our message. This is for us is a struggle. This is just a struggle of the Oromo people. Mm-hmm. And it's not that, yeah. Honestly speaking, doing media doesn't make me happy working in America media, whatever, getting paid. This one, I don't get paid for Kello. Jal Hawini doesn't get paid, but it makes me happy. It really drives me to do this because it's for a cause. It satisfies you more than the money that you can get from working this kind of job. So that's why we try to do our best in investigating. And I do not blame other medias on this. For example, let alone investigative, okay? I think 2 weeks ago, I was discussing this with Jal Hawini. Somebody just called us and just said, four brothers got killed in what's this place? Guliso. And I wanted a picture or a video or something, like, you know, their body or something like that. And we couldn't get it because, one, there's no internet. You know, there's only phone call. Two, there's security by itself. It's hard just to get a simple picture of just, you know. It's very hard, even internet by itself. So the complication is so hard. Adding investigative journalism on top of that, if you have the money, if you're, you know. By its nature, investigative journalism by itself is very hard. Having money and the access to, considering what we have, where we at, and with the financial barrier we have, it's really impossible. But that cannot stop us because this is, like I said, this is a struggle. It's not about, we're not looking for comfort or, like, you know, convenient situation to do this kind of job, because we have to find something in nothing. So that's why it's kind of hard, but I kind of understand the other media's position. I'm really appreciative of the job that they're doing. And, you know, I know how we struggle with this work every day. Being a media person is every day what happened. Your phone rings a day 100 times. You don't have personal life. It's a lot of stuff. And I know that it makes me appreciate their job, but I believe that we have to try to do more on this investigative journalism. I don't know if Jal Hawini want to add something to it.
I struggle with this thought of what message I would give to medias around the world about, or who think that the Oromo story is not important enough to cover, because on one hand, the world is moving towards progressivism and democracy, and in Ethiopia, there's a total breakdown of that. It's completely an authoritarian government, and they should care because they're covering stories in other countries that are so similar and analogous to Ethiopia, but yet they just ignore the Oromo story. But also, on the other hand, I don't think anybody can cover our story as good as Oromos can. I don't think anybody has the context or the knowledge to tell our truth the way we can do it ourselves. So sometimes I feel like it's better for us to empower ourselves and build platforms that we can tell our truth and tell our stories, because even when international media does cover the Oromo, it's never quite right. It's always missing context. It's always biased towards some side. It's never right. It's just in my eyes, and I'm a very critical person, so that might be extreme, but it's just never right. So I feel like I don't want to ignore the international media and the work that they're doing, because they do need to tell our story right. But I think the focus should more so be on the stories that we tell and how we uncover our own truth.
That's a really interesting point. I mean, it's true, because if international sources, I mean, I guess aside from those that are supposedly doing, like, on the ground reporting work, just in general talking about international media covering these issues, well, where are they getting their information from? Because by that point, it's like third or fourth hand information, right? And so if they don't have sources like legitimate Oromo medias that are accurately telling those stories, where are they even getting the information from? They're just going to be getting it from other biased sources and then perpetuating that information. I mean, if we look at especially the articles over the summer that came out shortly after Haj Alu's assassination, and even more recently, they all just regurgitate the same information. And so it has to come from somewhere.
Yeah, I think what you're both saying is really true. Jalmaro and Jalhawine, I think between you guys, you know, you're basically saying that we can do both things at the same time. Like, we can tell our stories, but we can also call out the false narratives being perpetuated by Ethiopian and Western media. And that way we can get the more sort of the most accurate depiction of what's happening in Oromia and what's happening to our people and the story of our people and our own narrative. So, I mean, Jal Katale, you mentioned about a lot of the challenges that you face, the cost of, you know, running your satellite broadcasting, the cost of having to produce all the content that you make. And I mean, first of all, the fact that you do all of this work that is literally like a full-time job, just voluntarily for the sake of the struggle, for the sake of the Kapso, you guys are like, you're just a real deal. You guys are just a real deal for that, honestly. That's so admirable. And, you know, we really want to get people to support you as much as possible. So what can our listeners do to support the work of Kalo Media and any other Oromo medias that need more engagement and support from the public? I mean, there's how many? There's four? Yeah, there's four who do regular sort of full-time scheduling, isn't it? So it's you guys, it's Bulletin Broadcasting Service, it's Kush Media Network, and it's OMN. Those are the four that do regular programming, regular sort of full-time programming. But what can we do to support you? Give you money?
Yes.
Here's not the address and the check.
Listen, if you need it, I got it. So, yeah, money is power. So, unfortunately, we do live in a capitalistic society, so donate if you can. Also, subscribe to all of our social media. The more views we get, the more attention we get, the wider audience that we will amass. And I would say, if you have something to contribute, I know Kidlo is always willing to partner with people who have really interesting ideas and who also want to uncover the truth. So if you have something to contribute and you know it's solid, please reach out to us. Our email is kellomedia@gmail.com. And we can partner. If you really think that you have something that is groundbreaking and you want to share it with the wider Oromo community, please do. And something else, which is not as concrete, but also like think critically when you're watching these other medias. If something doesn't make sense, call it out. Make them accountable for the content that they are publishing. Don't just accept everything as fact. Think critically, please.
Yeah, critical thinking is critical.
Sorry, that was a little late. That was so delayed. Oh my gosh.
It was okay. It worked.
That was to Jalhawine's comment, in case you didn't catch that after the 10-second delay. But so Jalhawine, I mean, so okay, as far as for our listeners who do, you know, have the means to contribute, give back, what are the best ways? So sometimes there are actual fundraisers, like intermittently. People can become a, what's it called? A subscriber on Facebook or a, is that what it's called? Contributor?
Subscriber.
Yep, on Facebook. And if you go to our website, you can also subscribe as well. We've created multiple opportunities for people to subscribe.
So these are paid subscriptions, right?
Starting from $10 a month. That's like one Starbucksy, the Starbucks coffee price. So skip one Starbucks one day. I know. I'm a coffee addict.
He's getting 20 shot
That's Jalgatale who drives Kello. It's the coffee. It's a latte that drives. But anyway, so $10 a month, $20 a month. If you're mm-hmm. rich, professional, 50, 100, we accept all. Even 1,000.
But no discrimination.
No discrimination. But please do, because the job, we have about 7 employees. I don't even have the number correct, but 7 or 6 employees full time. And you can count without me, by the way. I'm full time, but I don't. And Jal Hawini is a full time. You can say that, to be honest. We are always just, you know, doing this, and we don't have no break. So we have a lot of full-time employees, and we want to add more people because the project is big, and we're not covering everything from the lack of finance. Finance is stressing you out, and also trying to do the stories is very hard. You know, it doesn't give you no sleep. So anything that you guys can do will ease in our work. Please go donate, and like Awine said, if you want to work with us, if you have, you know, what we need is commitment in this work. Commitment is a very crucial thing along the way. You know, you learn from your mistake. We as a Kello, we made a lot of mistake, but we learn from it. We improve every day. Now we are leading media in Oromo, to be honest, hands down. I think that's what people comment nowadays. Mm-hmm. So in a very short period of time also.
Humbly.
Yeah, because I want to emphasize that, like, you know, commitment and really, like, commitment is very important. And if anybody wants to do work with us, anybody can call us, we want to do an internship, can contact Jal Hawine. So this is not Hawine's job or Jal Katale's job or whatever. It's our job. So we are all responsible for this, even though we are the founders of the Kello Media. Mm. Kello belongs to all of you and everybody out there who's standing with the Oromo cause. So this is not us, you and all us. It's we. So as Kello team, we welcome everyone that we're going to work with us, who have commitment, who have the knowledge, and we will be more than happy to help. We have editors, we have full-time who work the job, but, you know, we want people with ideas that come in front of camera, and we have people who technical people who can do the job for you. So you know, we're trying to make things easier to produce more products, more information. So please contact Jal Hawine on this if you want to work with us. So yeah, that's all I can say. Thank you though.
One last thing before we move on to the rest of what we're gonna say, I guess. So I know there's always gonna be some people that are like, oh, you just want us to give money, or like, oh, you just want this, that, and always. Okay, we are literally in the middle of a freedom movement. Like, there's people losing their lives back home. Mm-hmm. Now, there are some people, like, you know, Kello Media team and like other people that are spending day and night. They work full-time jobs and doing this all the rest of the hours of the day. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just like, the number one, the least that we can do. And two, like, you know, looking back on this, do you want to say, like, I'm someone that did whatever I could and I like contributed to every Oromo thing that I can? Or are you just going to be like, no, I was just like watching from the sidelines? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm, that's how I feel about that. And then number two, I think one of the reasons, I mean, obviously Kello Media are our friends, but part of the reason why I admire them so much is because this is the Free Oromia podcast, right? Like, we don't shy away from talking about freedom for Oromia. And I think it's really commendable that Kello Media does not shy away from those topics, doesn't shy away from talking about freedom and the liberation movement in Oromia, and doesn't beat around the bush about that. And they it's an independent media, so it's not like they have a political stance, but they bring on all different kinds of programming that talk about things from different angles. And I think that is really important when we're talking about the internal conversation. So
yeah,
definitely. Just wanted to add that before we move on.
I am very glad that you added that. And like Jalmaro said, Senan gara sihingubin, do stand up for your people now while you can, because you don't want to miss this boat. This one's going to take us places. So
yeah, and we'll include links to all of these resources on our show notes, so you can check it out on freeoromia.org.
Hello, listeners. Just to let you know, we had such a great time recording with Jal Hawine and Jal Katale that we had over 2 hours of content recorded. This wraps up episode 15 on Oromo Media and Investigative Journalism. Next week for episode 16, we will continue with Jal Hawine and Jal Katale, and we'll have a friendly debate on the path to independence and whether democratizing Ethiopia should be the first step. What do you think about this? Leave us a voicemail at 430-755-0727. That's a US number, so +1 at the beginning. Or you can send us a voice note on Facebook Messenger or in our Instagram DMs at Team Free Oromia. Thanks all. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening, as always.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you to our dear listeners.
Thank you, guys. Love the podcast. Right. Keep it up.
We'll
thank
try.
You. Thank you.
Thanks for the support.
Bye.
All right. Bye, everyone. Bye. Nahimi makahi na ya tchisi se fundo fabonto na kama tchisi hal kanu kalgala na jala tchisi tanjolo masan na tabachisi oromia.